Chapter 41. Dressing room and in part like an office, and in which, upon a kind of counter desk, were a pair of brass scales for weighing gold, and a scoop for shoveling out money. Here they are, you see, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles. I stood behind these two articles 5 and 30 years running, when I no more thought of gadding about than I now think of staying at home. When I left the bank for good, I asked for them, and brought them away with me. I mention it at once, or you might suppose, that I sit in my counting house as pets as I do, like the king in the poem of the 24 blackbirds, counting out my money. Apostrophe, Clennam's eyes had strayed to a natural picture on the wall, of two pretty little girls with their arms entwined. Yes. Clennam, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, in a lower voice. There they both are. It was taken some 17 years ago. As I often say to mother, they were babies then. Apostrophe, their names? Apostrophe said Arthur. Ah, to be sure. You have never heard any name but Pet. Pet's name is Minnie, her sister's Lily. Apostrophe, should you have known, Mr. Clennam, that one of them was meant for me? Apostrophe asked Pet herself, now standing in the doorway. I might have thought that both of them were meant for you, both are still so like you. Indeed, apostrophe said Clennam, glancing from the fair original to the picture and back, I cannot even now say which is not your portrait. Apostrophe do you hear that, mother? Apostrophe cried Mr. Meagles to his wife, who had followed her daughter. It's always the same, Clennam, nobody can decide. The child to your left is Pet. Apostrophe, the picture happened to be near a looking glass. As Arthur looked at it again, he saw, by the reflection of the mirror, Tatikaram stop in passing outside the door, listen to what was going on, and pass away with an angry and contemptuous frown upon her face that changed its beauty into ugliness. But come. Apostrophe said Mr. Meagles. You have had a long walk, and will be glad to get your boots off. As to Daniel here, I suppose he'd never think of taking his boots off, unless we showed him a bootjack. Apostrophe, why not? Apostrophe asked Daniel, with a significant smile at Clennam. Oh, you have so many things to think about, apostrophe returned Mr. Meagles, clapping him on the shoulder, as if his weakness must not be left to itself on any account. Figures, and wheels, and cogs, and levers, and screws, and cylinders, and a thousand things. Apostrophe, in my calling, apostrophe said Daniel, amused, the greater usually includes the less. But never mind. Whatever pleases you, pleases me. Apostrophe, Clennam could not help speculating, as he seated himself in his room by the fire, whether there might be in the breast of this honest, affectionate, and cordial Mr. Meagles, any microscopic portion of the mustard seed that had sprung up into the great tree of the Circumlocution Office. His curious sense of a general superiority to Daniel Doyce, which seemed to be founded, not so much on anything in Doyce's personal character, as on the mere fact of his being an originator, and a man out of the beaten track of other men, suggested the idea. It might have occupied him until he went down to dinner an hour afterwards, if he had not had another question to consider, which had been in his mind, so long ago, as before he was in quarantine at Marseille, and which had now returned to it, and was very urgent with it. No less a question than this. Whether he should allow himself to fall in love with Pet? He was twice her age.
He changed the leg he had crossed over the other, and tried the calculation again, but could not bring out the total at less.
He was twice her age. Well, he was young in appearance, young in health and strength, young in heart. A man was certainly not old at 40, and many men were not in circumstances to marry, or did not marry, until they had attained that time of life. On the other hand, the question was, not what he thought of the point, but what she thought of it. He believed that Mr. Meagles was disposed to entertain a ripe regard for him, and he knew that he had a sincere regard for Mr. Meagles and his good wife. He could foresee that to relinquish this beautiful only child, of whom they were so fond, to any husband, would be a trial of their love which perhaps they never yet had had the fortitude to contemplate. But the more beautiful and winning and charming she, the nearer they must always be to the necessity of approaching it. And why not in his favor, as well as in another's? When he had got so far, it came again into his head that the question was, not what they thought of it, but what she thought of it. Arthur Clennam was a retiring man, with a sense of many deficiencies. And he so exalted the merits of the beautiful Minnie in his mind, and depressed his own, that when he pinned himself to this point, his hopes began to fail him. He came to the final resolution, as he made himself ready for dinner, that he would not allow himself to fall in love with Pet. There were only five, at a round table, and it was very pleasant indeed. They had so many places and people to recall, and they were all so easy and cheerful together.
Daniel Doyce either sitting out like an amused spectator at cards, or coming in with some shrewd little experiences of his own, when it happened to be to the purpose that they might have been together 20 times, and not have known so much of one another.
And Miss Wade, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, after they had recalled a number of fellow travelers. Has anybody seen Miss Wade? Apostrophe, I have, apostrophe said Tattycoram. She had brought a little mantle which her young mistress had sent for, and was bending over her, putting it on, when she lifted up her dark eyes and made this unexpected answer. Taddy! Apostrophe, apostrophe, her young mistress exclaimed. You seen Miss Wade? Where? Apostrophe, apostrophe, here, miss, apostrophe said Tattycoram. How? Apostrophe, apostrophe, an impatient glance from Tattycoram seemed, as Clennam saw it, to answer with my eyes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but her only answer in words was, I met her near the church. Apostrophe, what was she doing there, I wonder? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Meagles. Not going to it, I should think. Apostrophe, she had written to me first, apostrophe said Tattycoram. Oh, Taddy! Apostrophe, apostrophe, murmured her mistress. Take your hands away. I feel as if someone else was touching me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said it in a quick involuntary way, but half playfully, and not more petulantly or disagreeably than a favorite child might have done, who laughed next moment. Tattycoram set her full red lips together, and crossed her arms upon her bosom. Did you wish to know, sir, apostrophe she said, looking at Mr. Meagles, what Miss Wade wrote to me about? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, Tattycoram, apostrophe returned Mr. Meagles, since you ask the question, and we are all friends here, perhaps you may as well mention it, if you are so inclined. Apostrophe, she knew, when we were traveling, where you lived, apostrophe said Tattycoram, and she had seen me not quite, apostrophe, not quite in a good temper, Tattycoram? Apostrophe, apostrophe suggested Mr. Meagles, shaking his head at the dark eyes with a quiet caution. Take a little time, count 25, Tattycoram. Apostrophe, she pressed her lips together again, and took a long deep breath. So she wrote to me to say that, if I ever felt myself hurt, apostrophe, she looked down at her young mistress, or found myself worried, apostrophe, she looked down at her again, I might go to her, and be considerately treated. I was to think of it, and could speak to her by the church. So I went there to thank her. Apostrophe, Taddy, apostrophe said her young mistress, putting her hand up over her shoulder, that the other might take it. Miss Wade almost frightened me when we parted, and I scarcely like to think of her just now as having been so near me without my knowing it. Taddy dear, apostrophe, Taddy stood for a moment, immovable. Hey? Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Mr. Meagles. Count another 25, Tattycoram. Apostrophe, she might have counted a dozen, when she bent, and put her lips to the caressing hand. It patted her cheek as it touched the owner's beautiful curls, and Tatikaram went away. "Now there," apostrophe said Mr. Meagle softly, as he gave a turn to the dumb waiter on his right hand to twirl the sugar towards himself. "There's a girl who might be lost and ruined if she wasn't among practical people. Mother and I know, solely from being practical, that there are times when that girl's whole nature seems to roughen itself against seeing us, so bound up in pet. No father and mother were bound up in her, poor soul. I don't like to think of the way in which that unfortunate child, with all that passion and protest in her, feels when she hears the fifth commandment on a Sunday. I am always inclined to call out, 'Church, count 5 and 20, to Tikaram.'" Apostrophe, besides his dumb waiter, Mr. Meagles had two other not dumb waiters in the persons of two parlor maids with rosy faces and bright eyes, who were a highly ornamental part of the table decoration. "And why not, you see?" Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles on this head. "As I always say to mother, why not have something pretty to look at, if you have anything at all?" Apostrophe, apostrophe a certain Mrs. Tickett, who was cook and housekeeper when the family were at home, and housekeeper only when the family were away, completed the establishment. Mr. Meagles regretted that the nature of the duties in which he was engaged rendered Mrs. Tickett unpresentable at present, but hoped to introduce her to the new visitor tomorrow. She was an important part of the cottage, he said, and all his friends knew her. That was her picture up in the corner. When they went away, she always put on the silk gown, and the jet black row of curls represented in that portrait, her hair was reddish gray in the kitchen, established herself in the breakfast room, put her spectacles between two particular leaves of Dr. Butchin's domestic medicine, and sat looking over the blind all day until they came back again. It was supposed that no persuasion could be invented which would induce Mrs. Tickett to abandon her post at the blind, however long their absence, or to dispense with the attendance of Dr. Butchin, the lucubrations of which learned practitioner, Mr. Meagles implicitly believed she had never yet consulted to the extent of one word in her life. In the evening they played an old-fashioned rubber, and Pet sat looking over her father's hand, or singing to herself by fits and starts at the piano. She was a spoiled child, but how could she be otherwise? Who could be much with so pliable and beautiful a creature, and not yield to her endearing influence? Who could pass an evening in the house, and not love her for the grace and charm of her very presence in the room? This was Clennam's reflection, notwithstanding the final conclusion at which he had arrived upstairs. In making it, he revoked. "Why, what are you thinking of, my good sir?" Apostrophe, apostrophe asked the astonished Mr. Meagles, who was his partner. "I beg your pardon." "Nothing," apostrophe returned Clennam. "Think of something, next time, that's a dear fellow," apostrophe said Mr. Meagles. Pet laughingly believed he had been thinking of Miss Wade. "Why of Miss Wade, Pet?" apostrophe apostrophe asked her father. "Why, indeed?" apostrophe apostrophe said Arthur Clennam. Pet colored a little and went to the piano again. As they broke up for the night, Arthur overheard Doyce ask his host if he could give him half an hour's conversation before breakfast in the morning. The host replying willingly, Arthur lingered behind a moment, having his own word to add to that topic. "Mr. Meagles," apostrophe he said, "on their being left alone, do you remember when you advised me to go straight to London?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "perfectly well." Apostrophe, "and when you gave me some other good advice which I needed at that time?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "I won't say what it was worth," apostrophe answered Mr. Meagles. "But of course I remember our being very pleasant and confidential together. Apostrophe, I have acted on your advice, and having disembarrassed myself of an occupation that was painful to me for many reasons, wish to devote myself, and what means I have, to another pursuit." Apostrophe, "right. You can't do it too soon," apostrophe said Mr. Meagles. Now, as I came down today, I found that your friend, Mr. Deuce, is looking for a partner in his business, not a partner in his mechanical knowledge, but in the ways and means of turning the business arising from it to the best account. Just so, said Mr. Meagles, with his hands in his pockets, and with the old business expression of face that had belonged to the scales and scoop. Mr. Deuce mentioned incidentally, in the course of our conversation, that he was going to take your valuable advice on the subject of finding such a partner. If you should think our views and opportunities at all likely to coincide, perhaps you will let him know my available position. I speak, of course, in ignorance of the details, and they may be unsuitable on both sides. Said Mr. Meagles, with the caution belonging to the scales and scoop. But they will be a question of figures and accounts, said Mr. Meagles, with arithmetical solidity belonging to the scales and scoop. And I shall be glad to enter into the subject, provided Mr. Deuce responds, and you think well of it. If you will at present, therefore, allow me to place it in your hands, you will much oblige me. Clenham, I accept the trust with readiness, said Mr. Meagles. And without anticipating any of the points which you, as a man of business, have of course reserved, I am free to say to you that I think something may come of this. Of one thing you may be perfectly certain. Daniel is an honest man. I am so sure of it that I have promptly made up my mind to speak to you. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.